Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Center for Ideas Whose Time Has Come here at Car Talk Plaza. And my brother has got an idea. I mean, this, my brother evidently every once in a while comes up with theories.
Well, ideas. I'm the idea guy.
The last great one that he had was the roof snow theory. We won't go into that.
No, it's the wrong season.
It's the wrong season, and it's complete balderdash. No, but this idea, I believe, has merit.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the only thing that worries me, that you like this. here goes, and I would say
it's one of those things that
it just happened.
No one thinks of.
Well, except
what are you doing when these ideas come?
Well, here's what had happened. I was lying in bed. It was early morning. It was around June 20th, the solstice, you know, the longest day of the year.
Yeah.
And I heard birds chirping, and the sun was kind of creeping over my windowsill. And I was awakened as the birds got louder and louder. And I opened my eyes enough to look at the clock and realize it was 5 a.m. That's when the birds get up, because that's when the sun gets up.
Yeah.
And I thought, jeez, this is brutal. I didn't get enough sleep last night. And moreover, this is a terrible waste of sunlight. And when you think about it, those of us who live in the frozen north especially are really deprived of sunlight.
Sure.
During the rest of the year.
So we have all this sunlight while we're asleep.
So exactly. 5 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to sleep,
the sun comes up and wakes you up.
Wouldn't it be nice if that sunlight were at the other end of the day? If sunset were, in fact, an hour later than it really is. So what I'm proposing, very simply...
Well, we already do that. It's called daylight saving
time. I know, but we don't do enough of it.
Huh.
I'm proposing double dog daylight savings time. Here's the plan.
Yeah.
On or about the last Saturday in June, we turn our clocks ahead another hour.
Oh.
So instead of sunset being, for example, at 8:20, it's at 9:20. Now think of the consequences of this. If you had a later sunset, there'd be less crime. Everyone knows that most crimes occur after dark. Well, darkness is going to be delayed an hour, so there'd be less crime.
Yeah.
There'd be more backyard barbecues, more fun with the kids, you know, playing in the yard because it wouldn't be dark.
And there wouldn't be mosquitoes.
Well, there will be mosquitoes, but mosquitoes don't come out and bite until after dark. So we're going to stop the spread of West Nile virus, or at least slow it down significantly. Electricity will be saved. Parking lots, won't have to be illuminated until 9:30 as opposed to 8:30.
Baseball games,
exactly. You name it. It's going to happen when we go to the double. And so here's the way it works. The last Saturday in June, we turn the clock ahead yet another hour. And then after Labor Day or thereabouts, we turn it back. So now we still have that 1 hour advance that we had from the original daylight savings time. So for July and August, we have double daylight savings time. Double dog daylight
double
savings
dog.
Time. Yeah. So, I mean,
we could increase the appeal of this idea if we mandated that the change happens during the hour that Car Talk is scheduled to be on. So that at least 1 week a year, the show would just disappear.
That'll bring over the fence sitters, wouldn't you think? Well, I'm hoping that this little plea today will initiate a grassroots kind of movement. So I'm encouraging people to write to their congressman, write to their clergyman, write to anybody.
Sure. I mean, we could start this next year.
I can see it happening.
Well, the other thing, I suppose, the whole country doesn't have to do it. You like it, you do it.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is David, and I'm calling from Richmond, California.
So what do you think about double dog daylight saving time, David?
Well, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yippee! There's one.
Okay, thanks for the call, David.
So what can we do for you, David?
Well, I got this 2000 Dodge Durango.
Uh-huh.
And when it goes down the street, it sounds like a Murphy bed. It's squeaks like crazy. It goes.
Oh, really?
And I've tried lubing everything I can lube underneath it with this silicone spray. I've done the shock absorbers and the springs, and it still does it. The only time it seems to get better is after it rains or if I get the car washed. It improves for a day or two, and then it comes back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Does it sound like it's coming from the front or the back?
Yeah.
Well, it sort of depends on which way I'm facing. It's like it comes from everywhere. I think most of the time it seems like it's coming from the back.
But it's initiated and continues when you go over bumps.
Yeah, and like when I get into the car, when I get out of the car.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like I'm having a lot more fun than I am.
Yeah. So it sounds like squeaky bed springs.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, you're not quite lubing the right stuff, but you got the right idea.
I think so. The things that are making noise are suspension bushings. And bushings are things that are like a lower class of bearings. They're devices that allow things that attach to pivot.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And they have to be able to, like, rotate a little bit when the car goes up and down so that they don't break.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just go spraying stuff randomly, you'll never get it.
Well, you know what you could do? You could dip the truck.
I was just thinking of exactly the same thing.
You could have it dipped.
A carpool.
A carpool. That's it.
Exactly. You could have it dipped in Rust-Oleum. Not Rust-Oleum, WD-40 or something.
If you took it to your mechanic and told him what the story was, he would know exactly where to lube it.
But you can easily figure out where it's coming from by having an assistant get in and out of the truck or bounce on the bumper.
While you're lying under it.
Well, I tried sort of driving the car and hanging out of the door at the same time to see if I could figure out where the sound was coming
from. That's a little
too
tough to do. My brother used to let me do that. He used to strap me to the hood of a car and say, tell me where the noise is coming from.
But it's those nagging head injuries that finally stopped that.
That's right.
But this noise will occur when you're not moving the vehicle.
Well, when I get in and out of the car.
Sure. Right, exactly. So you don't have to be moving it.
Right.
So if you were underneath and someone get in and out of the car, you'd be able to hear it really close.
But that's the way you're going to find it. And when you do find it, you can have that bushing. You can spray that bushing.
And just
those
spray
bushings.
It with silicone is the best thing, huh?
Well, there are lots of other things. We use something called HHS 2000, which is made by Wurth. W-U-R-T-H.
Uh-huh.
And it's phenomenal stuff, and it's designed to do exactly what you need. Not only does it penetrate the offending bushing, but then it forms kind of a seal to keep water out and keep its lubricating properties in it. I don't know if you can buy it except through them, but it's phenomenal stuff.
Great.
All right, good luck.
Appreciate it.
Sure. See you later.
Thanks a lot. I'm going to turn my clock right now.
That's the guy. That's the kind of guy we need.
There you go. You'll be calling an hour early next week. See you later, David.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, I like the idea of the carpool.
Carpool.
See, one brilliant idea engenders another.
Yeah.
Right?
That is a great idea. I mean, how many cars need this?
Dipping.
Need a dip, good dip.
And they need the hook to slip. So they go right in. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from New Bern, North Carolina.
Sarah with an H.
With an H, of course.
Yeah, yeah. New Bern, huh?
Beautiful little town down here in North Carolina.
Okay.
So what's up?
Well, I've got a 2004 Xterra, and I had it parked in my driveway a couple weeks ago on a hot day. And I got a phone call at work that said that my back window was busted out, and I could
not
believe it.
Wait, the vehicle was at your house, but you were at work?
Well, I walked to work. It's only a couple minutes away.
Okay.
And so I was telling all the guys in the office, and they said, oh, you didn't leave the windows cracked. And I said, what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they are cracked.
Right, it's cracked now.
Really cracked.
Right. And they said, oh, the Xterra is a very tight car, and if you don't crack a window when it's hot, the air will expand and blow out the window. And so I thought this was just ridiculous, but I went home and looked at the window, and I couldn't find anything that had looked like a projectile that had hit it, and it was blown outward.
Yeah.
So I took it back to the dealership, and the dealer said, no, absolutely not. It cannot be the heat, but they replaced it for free. And my question is, can this actually happen? I mean, it sounds like a terrible design flaw.
Sounds like it did happen.
I know.
So we're going to go with a yes here.
Yeah, we're going with a definite yes, and it happens all the time.
Really?
And it doesn't just happen to Xterras. It happens to all kinds of vehicles, and it isn't, I believe, the increased air pressure.
What is it?
Well, what it is that the glass expands. You know, when the glass gets heated up, it expands, and
right.
It's pushing against everything that's keeping it in the window. And
right.
If the glass expands in such a manner, and it has a weakness, it has to have a flaw in order for this to occur.
Okay.
So your glass expanded like every other person's windshield expanded, except your glass had a flaw in it, and that was it.
Okay, and that's probably why they replaced it for free.
Well, I don't know how it works in North Carolina. I know in our state, you can buy insurance for your glass.
Okay.
You know, so did they call your insurance company?
They did not go through my insurance.
Yeah.
They just said it wasn't covered under warranty, but they would do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
are you really cute?
Well,
I mean, you have to ask, right? I mean,
well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it. They charged me $700 for the same thing.
It gives us some idea of the two ends of the spectrum.
But now am I going to have to leave my windows cracked whenever it's a hot day?
No. That has nothing to do with it. Do not leave your windows cracked. Those guys who told you that, they're cracked.
Okay.
Yeah. No, if the glass has a flaw in it.
Then it'll happen.
It'll happen whether the windows are cracked or not, because the glass just heats up when the sun shines on it.
Okay.
You know,
So
if you were always careful to park your Xterra in the shade, even if you had a defective piece of glass, it probably wouldn't crack.
Okay.
Well, let's try an experiment.
Right.
You got a new window now.
Right.
And see if it happens again.
Crack the crack the driver's side window.
Uh-huh.
See if it happens again.
Don't listen to him.
No. She's got to crack the window. And then if it happens again, it proves that your theory is correct. If it doesn't happen again, it proves that the second
windshield may not be flawed. See, if the glass isn't flawed, then we've learned nothing.
No.
In order for it to work, she has to put in another flawed windshield.
Right.
Well, maybe you can order one of those.
Hopefully this
Sarah,
is not flawed.
You know what? I just forget everything we've said for the last 5 minutes and just go with the fact that you got a fresh windshield for free.
Okay.
Isn't that great?
Sounds good to me. I love my car.
It's not going to happen again in all likelihood.
It wasn't the windshield. It was the back window, right?
Right.
We call them rear windshields
in the trade.
Yeah. Yes. Although they're not shielding against any wind.
Unless you go backwards. And there are bugs. See you, Sarah.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, we took a simple question. And we... No, I didn't take this all back. You took a simple question and complicated the devil out of it. What'd you do that for?
Well, because the theory that her co-workers gave her is not inconceivable. It's possible that the expansion of air...
If that were the case...
Well...
If that were... Yeah, is it more than is being exerted on the highway when you're driving at 90 miles an hour? And furthermore...
No, there's no...
Furthermore, when you get into a car, no matter what kind of a car it is, it by definition has more hot air in it... than you could ever generate. I don't care if the car were parked in the Mojave Desert. Can we move on to the next call now? 1-888-CARTS. Oh, God. This is going to be a very long day today.
This is going to be a long show.
It's going to hurt. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is John from Brooklyn.
Hi, John. What's going on?
Well, now we're talking.
Well, I bought a Ford Aerostar 96 at an auction down in Florida, and I drove it up to New York. And everything was fine driving all the way up here, but then at some point the gauges started doing some funky little dance. So I'm not really sure if the gauges are right or what.
Like which gauges and what are they doing?
Well, once the car warms up, if I go to a stoplight and I'm just waiting the stoplight, the oil pressure gauge will start bouncing off the low peg like a Geiger counter.
Oh, pretty quick.
Bing,
like boom,
bing,
boom,
bing,
boom,
bing,
boom.
Bing.
Yeah, it goes tick, 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 like it's picking up rads or something.
Okay.
And either that, if that doesn't happen, the temperature gauge will go up. So either one of those gauges has to go up or start bouncing at any time I stop. Unless I put the car in neutral, then all the gauges read fine.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
And when it happens, does it ever occur such that the temperature gauge is doing its thing while the oil pressure gauge is doing it, or are they one or the other?
It's one or the other. And also the alternator gauge decided to join the fray the other day.
So you bought this car at an auction?
Yes.
Okay, here's what happened. When they took out the instrument cluster to turn back the odometer,
they screwed up everything under there.
They left a ground wire loose. And I think what you have is a classic case of a loose ground wire. And what it's doing is it's intermittent in step with the vibrations of the engine almost. So when you stopped at a light, even though you may not feel it, because the motor mounts do a good job at insulating the engine from the body.
But things are vibrating nonetheless.
And it's going boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And it may be that it's just enough to make that ground connection bad. And tick, 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 tick. It's making one of those gauges or the other gauge go cuckoo.
Okay.
So this had like 66,000 miles on it when you got it?
Well, add another 90,000 to that.
Oh, yeah? Oh, they turned it ahead. that's the new strategy now.
No, but if they turned it back and that's as far as they wanted to go.
You can imagine.
You can imagine what it said before.
It's as far back as they could get it to go back.
See, right? It's possible that it might be very easy to fix.
Okay.
If you go to your mechanic, he'll just stick his head under there and it might very easily be obvious where that loose wire is.
Okay.
And if that's the only problem you have with this thing, you should be thanking your lucky stars.
You ain't kidding.
Good luck, John.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to answer last week's puzzler.
The one about black and white hats?
Hey, you remembered it?
No, I heard you and Berman talking about it before the show.
Well, I guess that counts as progress. The puzzler was about 30 prisoners and a dangerous game involving black and white hats. And we'll have the whole story and more of your car questions coming up in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
And even though hearing aid salesmen are consumed by guilt whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, the hats.
Yeah, the hats. I'm going to set the scene for you.
Yeah.
You ready? At a certain jungle prison, there are 30 prisoners who have been sentenced to be executed.
Oh, it's a happy puzzle.
Yes, from my cheerful series. Anyway, the warden decides to play a little game, and he tells the prisoners that he will stand all of them in a straight line with prisoner number one facing the wall and the remaining prisoners all lined up behind him. So each one is able to see the heads of those prisoners in front of him, but not his own head, of course, or the heads of those behind him, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like standing in line at the men's room at the ballpark, right?
Exactly.
Next, the warden says, he will place either a white or a black hat on each prisoner's head, starting at the back of the line, and then a guard will go down the line in the same direction, starting with the last prisoner, number 30, and ask each prisoner to identify the color of his own hat.
But he can't see it.
That's right. The prisoner number 30 can see all 29 hats and prisoners in front of him. 29 can see the 28 hats in front of him, et cetera, et cetera. But prisoner number one can see what?
Bupkis.
Exactly. And when asked the color of his hat, a prisoner must say one of two words, black or white. That's all he can say. So you understand all the rules?
No. Start over.
No, I can't start over. But here's what happens next. The prisoners object. They say, oh, come on, warden, give us a fighting chance. Give us some way to improve our odds.
Ah.
And the warden says, all right, all right, all right, all right. Look, I hate to execute complainers, so I'll give all of you 1 hour to talk among yourselves and come up with a strategy. After that, silence. And remember, no funny business. Each one of you is allowed, when asked, to utter one word and one word only, either black or white. And if I suspect anything is amiss, you're all goners.
Wow. Tough love.
Yeah. So the question is, Is there a strategy that the prisoners can use that will improve their chances from 50-50, which they clearly are now? Wow. And if so, what is it? Notice, by the way, that I did not say how many black or how many white hats there were. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
Okay, so let's assume that you're the warden. What would you, you know, you're going to hand out the hats.
I'd call the game off. We'd all play poker instead.
No, you can't do that. You have to distribute the hats, and how would you do it?
I don't know. I'd give everybody a black hat except only maybe one guy in the middle, prisoner number 10.
Okay, so all the hats are black except prisoner number 10 who gets a white hat. So here's what the prisoners do. You ready for this?
Yeah.
When they have their powwow and they decide on a strategy, they decide if prisoner number 30, the guy at the end of the line, looks ahead, he sees all the heads in front of him. If he sees an odd number of black hats, he says, I have a black hat. If he sees an odd number of white hats, he'll say, I have a white hat.
Oh.
All right, now here's how this works. It's pretty cute. So he looks up ahead, and he sees what? One white hat. Because you had to be different. He sees one white hat, so he says, I have a white hat.
Yeah.
Well, too bad for him, because he happens to be wearing a black hat, so they take him outside, and he gets what? Two in the hat. But prisoner number 29, the guy right in front of him, says he looks ahead, and he sees that one white hat, and he says, oh, if prisoner number 30 said that he had a white hat, that must mean he saw an odd number of white hats.
Huh.
I see an odd number of white hats, too. Therefore, I have a black hat.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And so 28 says the same thing. 27 says the same thing. 26, blah, 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 blah. Until we get to, what do you say, prisoner number 10? Prisoner number 10 says, all these guys behind me have said that they have black hats because they're seeing... Also, they're seeing an odd number of white hats.
Yep.
I don't see any white hats. Therefore, I must have the white hat.
Good, good.
Right?
I like it.
The next guy, prisoner number 9, looks ahead. He doesn't see any white hats. He knows the guy behind him declared that he had a white hat. And he knows there's an odd number of white hats, and he cannot have a white hat.
Ah.
And each of the remaining prisoners, all of whom have black hats, use the same rationale to declare that they also have black hats.
Excellent.
And by the way, it would make no difference if there had been 3 white hats or 5 white hats or 7. If there were an odd number of white hats, the same kind of rationale would apply. And these kinds of puzzles require the listener, the one listener we have was paying attention, to kind of go through this and write it down with a pencil and a paper and prove that, in fact, the logic is irrefutable. It has to work.
Wow.
I stand behind it 100%. Neat, eh?
So great.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Leslie Warren from Lawrence, Kansas. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Leslie's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can order one of our Car Talk kids T-shirts.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, we had a bunch of requests from parents, you know, and aunts and uncles and such, asking us to make a T-shirt available in little kids' sizes. So we made one, and it says, "Help! My parents make me listen to Car Talk."
Yeah, take that, Mom and Dad.
Well, anyway, since it's now peak goofing off season, we will not, I repeat, not have a new puzzler in the third half of the show, but instead my brother will demonstrate his astrological skills. What are you going to read, my horoscope?
Yeah, it says you're going to use the choke pull-off answer in the next 20 minutes.
Well, we'll see. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Natalie, and I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
So what's going on, Natalie?
Well, we don't have a car problem exactly, but my husband...
Is it a marital problem?
It's a little bit of a marital problem.
Okay.
And it involves either of our two cars, actually.
We have a knack, by the way, of turning little marital problems into bigger ones.
Well, because
and getting to the heart of the issue, because it may be that there's something going on that's
very deep and you just don't recognize it.
Well,
but since I have had every marital problem that there is, I can always see where it's going.
Well, then you may see where this is going.
Okay, go ahead.
My husband, we moved down here about 2 years ago, and so now we have these hot summers. And my husband likes to...
From where?
From Chicago.
Okay.
And now he likes to... He enjoys his lunch in the car, and he leaves the car running, and he listens to sports radio. So he does this every day, and I think that it's not good for the car to leave the car running. And then in the summer, you know, the air conditioning's on, and he's getting crumbs all over
the car. Does he have an office job, and he goes out to the parking lot and sits in his car?
Exactly, yeah.
Or does he do this on weekends instead of having lunch with you? And I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to sit in the car. See you in an hour.
He just does it on weekdays. He has an office job, but he likes to get out of the office. And just
the fresh air.
Get the fresh air in the car. So he sits in the car for an hour.
Right.
With the air conditioner on.
Right.
And he eats his lunch.
And he listens to sports radio, which may be the thing that bothers me most.
So why does this stuff bother you at all? What do you care what he does?
Well, I'm worried about the car because sometimes he drives my car.
Are you really worried about the car? Or is something else bothering you?
No.
Well, at least superficially you're worried about the car, and I can understand that, except...
What if we told you he's doing absolutely no harm to the car by sitting in it for an hour with the engine running and the air conditioner on? If we said the car loves that, then what would you say?
I would have to relent and not nag him anymore about sitting in the car.
Oh, you
and then what? Then what would you nag him about?
Then you have been nagging him.
Well, I just don't think it's good for the car, and it's certainly not good for the environment.
It's certainly not good for the environment. There's no question about that. But as far as the only thing it is doing is it is wasting gasoline, obviously, and it is, you know, adding pollution to the environment.
Wait. I left it as a hypothetical what if I told her.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm going to tell her the skinny on it.
I'm really, not sure she's ready for it.
Oh, she's ready. I mean, it's not hurting the air conditioner, really. I mean, obviously, when you use a mechanical device, you do wear it out. So he is, by doing this, going to shorten the life of the engine and the belts and the you know, and the air conditioner compressor and the associated components.
Mm-hmm.
But in the giant scheme of things, it's not going to make a heck of a lot of difference.
It certainly isn't.
I mean, he could, however, sit at his desk in a... you know, office building, which is obviously air conditioned, and put on a, you know, a Walkman or some such thing, and listen, but he can't talk to himself when he's in the office.
But that's my recommendation, is for him to sit in his office or go into, like, a restaurant.
What the hell business is of yours?
Then people will bother him while he's at his desk.
Of course.
And he can't be completely open. He can't slam his fist on the dashboard and say, "Oh, those knuckleheads! I knew they shouldn't let him play."
Yeah, I mean, I'm confused about why this troubles you.
Well,
I mean, what do you do for lunch?
Well, I work from home.
You do?
Yeah.
Where do you have your lunch?
I have my lunch at the kitchen.
At the kitchen?
Yeah.
What if he told you you're wearing out the kitchen? I don't want you eating lunch in the kitchen anymore. You're sitting at that table. You're
in the same chair all the time. You know, even when that chair wears out, we're going to have to buy six new ones.
Right, and you're wearing out the floor where your feet are and the top of the table. I don't want you eating lunch in the kitchen anymore. What the heck is this?
I think, Natalie, you are worried about the car, but I want to put to rest your mind. I mean, I want you to relax and understand that while he is using up some gas and certainly polluting the air a little bit by doing this, it's certainly no worse than all the taxi cabs and police cars who are doing exactly the same thing. So, but he's not harming or really shortening the life of the engine or any of those other components significantly. And so I think it's okay that he goes into his car and sits there in the peace and quiet of his car. He can say and do whatever he wants. If he wants to yell at the guys on the radio, he can do that. If he just wants to listen passively, he can do that. If he wants to eat his sandwich, if he wants to pass gas, he can do all of those things in the privacy of his own car.
Okay.
Is he into a lot of sports? Is he watching all the football games when he's home?
Yeah, he watches all the sports, and now that we've moved down south, he's picked up NASCAR.
Oh, is he a Cubs fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that explains everything. Leave the poor guy alone. Leave him alone. He suffered enough.
Well, I will do that.
But all I want to just say that women don't seem to appreciate the stress that men are under. And my wife, like all others, I think, just doesn't see that what it takes for a man to earn a living.
Yeah, that's the problem. She does. She just doesn't see it.
Shut up. I tell her I'm busted.
I mean, how could she understand if it's something she's never seen?
All right, forget it.
Natalie,
it's been a pleasure
It's been a wonderful talk to you.
You're a sweet, wonderful woman.
Hey, go easy on him. He is a Cubs fan after all. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888.
Wait, what's the name of the show?
I don't know.
888. Oh, the guy was in his car.
Exactly.
That's it.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ben calling from Grinnell, Iowa.
Hi, Ben.
Grinnell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they make granola.
They do not.
What's up?
So what's up, Ben?
Well, I'm calling about my girlfriend's 1992 Honda Accord. We're having difficulties shifting out of park, actually. For about the past month, it's been really difficult to shift out of park. Once it's out of park, it's pretty easy to shift between the gears. And then shifting back into park can sometimes also not quite feel right. It doesn't feel like it clicks all the way in. The car has about 88,000 miles on it, but 6 months ago had a new transmission put in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You said even when you put it into park, it doesn't feel like it's in?
It clicks in sort of, but not how it used to, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, that's good.
I like that.
You do too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like it too.
When have you ever had any trouble getting the key out after you've put it into park?
No.
See, if you did, you'd have gotten it fixed already.
Yeah, right. No, it doesn't sound like it's inside the transmission, which runs into big money.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it's.
It sounds like it's linkage.
Yeah, there's a cable that runs between the shifter and the transmission. It sounds like the cable is either stretched or out of adjustment.
Okay.
And it might be something you want to. How willing are you to take things apart and monkey with it yourself? Not very, huh?
Not very.
Okay.
No.
Then take it in.
Especially this is underneath. You don't want to crawl underneath. Who wants to crawl underneath the car?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was going to suggest you go at it from the top. Take the seats out in the rug. And all that. You know. No, actually, it is accessible from the top for the most part. But you might as well take it in and tell them what you told us. And it's very dangerous to not have the thing engage in park, even though it seems to engage enough in so you can get the key out. Because if it, in fact, is only half in.
And you're on a hill and you don't use the handbrake.
Yeah.
That car will roll away.
It could solve all your problems, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have big hills in Grinnell?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, start using them.
Okay.
No, but seriously, until you get it fixed, if you do park on a hill, make sure that you set the handbrake.
Okay.
And turn the wheels in toward the curb.
Yep.
And take the plates off just in case something happens while you're gone. See you later, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we have to take a little break.
Yeah.
But before we do, I want to remind people that if you ever miss our show unintentionally.
Right. Most people miss it in a premeditated fashion.
Right. But if you miss it some weekend and actually want to hear it, you can always grab a free podcast at cartalk.com.
Which reminds me, we got a letter here about that very subject written by someone named Bob Woolley. Can I read it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Guys, I think your self-deprecating comments about the value of the podcast miss an important point.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
With the radio show, I can only avoid listening to it for the one particular hour a week that my station airs it.
Right.
But with the podcast, I can download the program and then enjoy the knowledge that I'm avoiding it all week long. It's fantastic. Don't sell yourself short.
I can't tell.
Isn't that something?
I'm about to burst the buttons on my vest. I feel so good.
It's really great.
We'll be back in just a minute with some important news on astrology and insurance. And, of course, more of your car questions. So please stay tuned.
My father taught me everything, but I never wrote it down. He ran a big used car lot in a rough old part of town. He said, what you want and what you need are very different, son. And that candy-colored ragtop is really not the one. You see, the tires are worn and the back seat's torn, and the tranny smells like smoke. The radiator's fixing to give it up, and the speedo cable's broke. But we're gonna move it someday soon to a male under 35. He'll hit the corner and pop the clutch just as sure as you're alive. 'Cause it drives out good. It drives out good. It's a hell of a deal on a set of wheels, stamped from the finest Detroit steel. If all you're thinking is how it feels, well, it drives out good.
And even though medieval reenactors pull up the drawbridge and load the catapult with rancid meat whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler. The Puzzler is now officially on summer vacation. However,
well-deserved, I should say.
Yes, thank you. All summer long, my brother will take over and provide us instead with interesting items that he finds in the newspapers he covers himself with while sleeping on his park bench in the afternoon. So take it away, Tommy. What do you have for us this week?
Well, I have an interesting study. I'll just read you the article first, and then we can discuss it.
And elaborate.
Born a Gemini? Watch out on the roads and get insurance. A study released by Australian financial services group Suncorp Metway Limited that ranked car accident claimants by star sign found that the most accident-prone were Geminis, closely followed by Taurians, and then Pisceans.
Really?
Geminis typically described as restless, easily bored, and frustrated by things moving slowly had more car accidents than any other sign, said Warren Duke, Suncorp's national manager of personal insurance. Taurians were thought to be obstinate and inflexible, while Pisces people, could be risk-takers and daredevils. Capricorns were the safest behind the wheel due to their patience and careful driving.
Mm-hmm.
The lighthearted study...
I can see where this is going.
Hey, you bet. All right, now, here's the deal. I was wondering if this approach holds true for you and me.
Now, I didn't hear my sign mentioned.
Well, your sign is Aries, as
yes.
You well know.
Yes, I do.
And here's what it says about an Aries.
This is a Dodge Aries?
This is a Raymond Aries. Pioneering, it shouldn't have anything to do with your driving unless you're driving a Conestoga wagon.
Well, no, I occasionally drive on the sidewalk.
That's pioneering.
Yeah.
Adventurous.
Yeah.
You do want to drive in crazy places.
Yeah.
Freedom loving. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
driving
is freedom loving.
Right.
Selfish on the road, that's not good.
No.
Quick-tempered on the road, that's not good. Impulsive on the road, that's not good. Impatient on the road, that's not good. Foolhardy on the road, that's not good. And undiplomatic.
Boy, sounds like somebody who knows me very well wrote that.
So we can see that you probably have a very high insurance rate.
Well, what do you mean by undiplomatic?
What do I mean? I don't know.
I'm taking offense at that.
That's too bad. A Cancer, on the other hand, you would think I'm making this up.
This is you?
This is me. Kind, loving, imaginative. I mean, I don't know how that would have an effect on my driving. Touchy.
Oh, yeah, you're touchy, all right.
Yeah, that can affect your driving.
Yeah.
Untidy, that affects the back seat.
You can't see out the back window.
Unable to let go.
Yeah.
Unable to let go.
Yeah, yeah. That explains all the cars that I've had to send to the crusher on your behalf.
That's true. I dislike being told what to do.
Yeah.
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 Like the traffic laws.
Yeah, that's true.
That would do it.
Stopping
for red lights.
Yeah.
Or being given advice.
Yeah, like, stop!
Like from my wife. Well, I mean, they said that this technique that they used for estimating the risk exposure was no worse than any other theories they've ever come up with.
Oh, no. In fact, I agree. I mean, I should mention, however, that I have, in spite of all my shortcomings, short-tempered, undiplomatic, whatever they are, I have an impeccable driving record.
You do?
I do.
Well, you must have a few tickets.
I parking only.
Never had a moving violation?
No one's ever caught me. I didn't say I never violated. I just said I have a stellar record. I didn't say I never violated, but
okay.
But I'm a pretty good.
I think it's right.
By the measure the state uses, I'm a pretty darn good driver. Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Good.
That's it, though. That's the best you can come up with.
That's it.
And that's
yeah.
the first thing that you were doing.
That was it. That's all
in the absence
I
of
had,
the puzzler.
I didn't have much warning. I'd forgot about the puzzler being on vacation.
I'm hurt that you don't remember the puzzler.
You don't remember the puzzler?
Or its absence. Well,
yeah.
Well, obviously, my brother's hurting for material, so if you run across an item that might interest him, email it to him from cartalk.com.
Yeah, and while you're there, you can also check out the archival puzzler we post every week during the summer. We go back over our 30 years of weekly puzzlers, and we carefully select one that we deem worthy of sharing again.
Yeah, carefully select. Well, yeah, reach into the barrel. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, boys.
Yes. Hi.
Hello, who's this?
This is Constance in Atchison, Kansas.
Hi, Constance.
Are you talking into a tin can?
I'm on a bona fide landline telephone.
You are?
I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right.
I have a 1993 Lexus SC400. It's sandstone in color. I know that makes a difference.
It does sometimes.
Yeah, and every time I put on brakes really hard lately, it sounds and feels as though there's a long stick falling onto something somewhere underneath my seat. Just like one clunk or thud, and it's gone.
Just one?
Uh-huh.
Every time you step on the brake?
Well, only when I just have to do one of those hard stops, you know.
Hard stop.
Yeah.
And you don't actually feel something in the seat?
I'm not sure that I actually feel something, but the sound is so strong that it makes me think I feel something, but I know that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't have to.
Good. In my profession, it doesn't always either, so.
So you come to a hard stop.
Uh-huh.
And you get just one of these. Just boom.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom. And does it happen when you first step on the brake or after you've stopped the car?
After I've stopped. It's just like right at that instant when it stops.
Ah.
Okay. And do you ever, if you were to accelerate just as hard as you decelerated, can you reproduce or get anything that's even close to this sound or feeling? So in other words, if you're sitting stopped and you floored it.
Well, I can't really give you an answer to that because I got a speeding ticket the other day. And I don't really do that anymore.
But up until the other day when you did do it. So tell us about the speeding ticket. What were you doing?
I drive a 50 and a 35.
Is this something you habitually do? Or
no,
you...
no. And but...
I know what you told the cop, but you can tell us what you really do. Is it true that you usually drive 60 and you were elated to have been apprehended doing only 50?
Well, what I told him was, I'm a lawyer and I know that I'll get this amended, but it's just, this place is just not conducive to driving just 35.
Oh, so you're planning to go to court and get it reduced?
It won't go on my driving record anyway.
Oh, it won't? Why so?
Because she gave the cop $50. She's a lawyer. What do you think? She doesn't know what to do?
Oh. What was I thinking?
You know, I almost didn't want to tell you that that's my profession because I was scared you'd hang up on
no,
me.
No, no, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, no. We love lawyers.
Yeah, I know, right.
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for lawyers, there wouldn't be any jokes around. Well, listen, I think what you're feeling is the last downshift of the transmission.
Oh, I was scared you were going to say that.
You know, when you drop the speed off from 50 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone down to 40, 30, 20, et cetera, as you go down in speed, the transmission also downshifts because it has sensors that tell it, you know, if you're doing 20, it shouldn't be in fourth gear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's downshifting, and it also is told when the thing has come to a complete stop or thereabouts, mm-hmm. it's time to be in first gear. You know, but if you're getting this one clunk and it's right at the end when you think you've just about actually stopped, then I wouldn't be surprised if it's the transmission shifting into first and just shifting harshly.
So it's okay?
Well.
I didn't say that. And I would suggest to solve this, you take it to your regular mechanic and have that person drive it.
Okay.
And you know, he may verify that, in fact, that it's a harsh downshift into first. Sometimes doing a transmission flush can help that if there's a sticky valve in the transmission. There's a machine that they can hook up which will flush out all the old fluid and put new stuff in, and sometimes it will alleviate these conditions.
Yeah, but it is worth having the mechanic drive it.
Okay, I'll do that.
See you, Constance.
Thank you.
And watch that lead foot, will you?
I will.
See you. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chris calling from Camp Mondam and beautiful Lake Summit in Tuxedo, North Carolina.
Ooh, Lake what?
Lake Summit.
Oh, Lake Summit.
Lake Summit.
In Tuxedo, North Carolina.
Tuxedo.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just north of Cummerbund, just south of Bowtie.
Got it. What's up, Chris?
Well, I got fished.
You got fished?
I got fished.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a dead fish in my little Toyota pickup truck that I used to drive around between camps.
Uh-huh.
It stinks.
So someone did this. This is a prank? This is like a wet willy or a wedgie or something like that?
Yeah, this is like the nuclear wedgie.
Oh, swirly.
Pranks here, yeah.
So somebody, like, hid a fish under the seat?
Yeah, the dead fish under there.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you love it. You're in Massachusetts. I'm in North Carolina. I don't love it.
We can smell you from here.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Well, you should be thankful that you have friends who think enough about you to make you get fished.
Gratitude was not really the emotion that I was feeling.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know who did it, and can we help you plan a retaliation?
I have a few suspects, and indeed, I could use all of your assistance in getting revenge.
Okay, so let's figure out first how to get rid of your fish smell.
Please do. It's not even a fish smell. Now it's like a fish smell plus deodorizer.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, because you've been trying to cover it up.
They put it on the seat.
They threw it on the seat.
Yeah, and didn't even wrap it in newspaper or anything.
You sure they did this, or the fish didn't just jump in there on its own?
I don't think I parked it that close to the lake. I think I'm positive this was...
And who was laughing the hardest?
Oh, man, everyone's laughing hard.
Okay, well, there are a lot of enzyme products like Nature's Miracle and a few others.
Nature's Miracle, I have that.
Yeah, you know what also works surprisingly well is isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah, and the other stuff that I've been seeing a lot of ads for lately is something called Zero Odor, which is a spray-on thing, and it's supposed to get all kinds of animal smells off of carpeting.
Well, I bought my dog once had an encounter with a skunk, and the skunk won. But I didn't know that the encounter had taken place until my dog had sought refuge in the back seat of my Colt Vista. And as my wife and I drove away from the scene of the encounter, we were convinced that the skunk was chasing us because no matter how fast we drove or how far away we got, the smell kept getting worse and worse until we realized that the dog had the smell.
Was the skunk.
The dog had now become the skunk and was rolling around on the seats in an effort to get the stink off of her and onto the seats like they roll around in grass or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I go to the pet store and I buy the biggest bottle of skunk odor remover I can get for like $10.95, and I get it home and I realize it has a familiar aroma. It is rubbing alcohol or isopropyl alcohol. So I bought a dollar's worth of alcohol for $10. So you can go and buy a dollar's worth for a dollar in the drugstore. You can try that too. And that may work pretty well. Now let's get to the retaliation.
I'm going beyond retaliation. I want revenge.
Revenge.
Yeah.
Well, don't get too serious about it.
How many people are involved? Three people?
Three people.
Three people.
Three people.
We need lasting effects.
Are these guys married?
No.
No, who would marry these guys? But they all have jobs.
Yes.
Well, I think you need to do something that gets certain information to their bosses.
No, that's too serious.
You think so?
What if they get fired and then they get...
Hey!
I could have gotten fired. I got called into the boss.
Yeah,
for having a stinky car.
Yeah, his stinky car.
Oh, his?
Oh.
Yeah, this isn't even my car. This is the camp's car.
Oh, you have to. Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
And there are no holds barred.
No.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can do anything you want.
Do each of these guys have cars?
They indeed each have vehicles.
Oh, how sweet it is.
Yeah. You could fish them. If you could, you know, a better place to put the fish is up under the dashboard.
Oh.
Because then Oh, even better than that. Even better than that. If you were to,
I see it now.
If you were to take a fish and cut it up into little pieces
and stuff it
down.
Exactly.
I love it.
This is it.
I love it. Chris is killing himself laughing.
You know the vents up on top where when you turn on the defogger.
Yeah.
You want to stuff the dead fish guts. You don't want just the fish, the meat of the fish. You want to make sure that you get all the internal organs as well.
Yeah, so we're looking for the goo.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're looking for the goo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, Chris.
Oh, this is.
And
it.
I can tell you do
because
too.
They will never figure out where the hell the smell is coming from.
No, but I think they'll know who.
They'll know who did it.
Who did it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can send each of them a DVD of the movie Jackass. Good luck, man.
Thank you guys so much. This will be fun.
Let us know how everything works out.
Of course I will.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we need pictures. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another precious hour of your summer listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Venalosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Turtle Bay Frito-Lay Cheese Soufflé, Nescafé, Chardonnay, Peach Sorbet, and Milky Way Free Lunch Cabaret is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our studio repair technician is Sloan Cranky. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Swedish pessimist is Gunnar D. Days. Our communications director is Noam Sayan. Our employee morale boost is our Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our anger, our guest accommodations are provided by the Horse You Rode In, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the wilting summer students in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah, don't drive like my brother.
That too. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1128, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we explain the mysteries of regular maintenance.
What do you mean? Regular maintenance for you is plucking the parking tickets off the windshield and wiping the wet leaves off the front seat.
Yeah, I know. I mean maintenance for other people.
Oh. Well, if you've heard of things like brake jobs and coolant flushes, but don't know what they are, whether you need to do them, or whether they're things you can tackle yourself, you'll find all the answers this week at cartalk.com.
Can I do those things myself?
Yeah, right after you successfully find both cheeks in the shower.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though whales decide that the Navy signal jamming sonar isn't that bad whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.